proclaiming the gospel throughout the world. Bill Winston Ministries is bringing lost souls to Jesus Christ and teaching them how to walk in a victorious life. We invite you to receive all the blessings that God has for your life. Bill Winston Ministries presents The Believer's Walk of Faith.
Well, hello, I'm Bill Winston, and welcome to another program. The program that you're watching is called The Believer's Walk of Faith, where we walk by faith and not by sight. We have another exciting teaching for you today. We're centering around this issue of character and integrity. These two words, very, very powerful words. I'm finding that as most people come into the body of Christ, we need to be developed in these things. You see, we've kind of fudged on some things, or maybe not told all the truth about some things, or not been committed on some things, or kept our word. Today you're seeing a lot of divorces, a lot of people failing because they've told the wrong, said the wrong thing in front of people and said they didn't do this when in fact they did do it and so forth. Character and integrity. Two issues really today that we've got to talk about. Now, when people are born again, you're not just born again with character and integrity. They have to be developed. And we've developed these teachings so that you can take them, get the spirit of that, and get to understand how to develop character and integrity in your life. One of the reasons why the enemy doesn't want you to have integrity, because it's through integrity you can get to your promised land. It's through integrity that you will not fail. Now, let me give you a case in point. You remember Job, and the enemy came after him. Matter of fact, he took away his business. He took away his, destroyed his household, his family, his children, so forth and so on. But the Bible says that Job kept his integrity. And do you realize as a reason, because he kept his integrity, the Bible says in chapter 42, I think it is, of Job, the last chapter, that God restored everything that Job lost twice-fold. He got a double portion back of what he lost. Why? Because he stood on the Word of God and kept integrity. Integrity is a powerful thing. Now get your Bibles and pencils and papers ready. Ready to take some good notes now. Let's go into it and learn how to develop character and integrity. Integrity has to do with an individual's greatest asset. And it's something that we said must be in this last day for us to be able to recoup or get the benefit of the things that God has for us in this these last days. Integrity. We said this about it, that without integrity, access into the promised land becomes impossible. Without integrity. We said what integrity means, it has to do with the entire unimpaired state of anything, particularly the mind. It means moral soundness. It means purity, incorruptness. It means uprightness and honesty. Honest people. Random House Dictionary defines it as adherence to a moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character and honesty. People of character. When you speak of people of character, it's something that distinguishes a person, some good qualities of those which are esteemed or respected. The man is a man of character. She's a woman of character. And what we did is we used Joseph's life and talked about Joseph and how he was a person of integrity and a person of character. Now, we'll deal with that in just a minute. But what has happened here is that we're saying that many of the struggles in life, especially financially, the basis for those struggles or the toiling in our lives is because of a lack of integrity, and that God develops in us integrity. Man promotes off of skill, but God waits until you develop integrity, because God is not bringing you up somewhere so that you can fail. God is making it so that you will prevail. So we said that when we're talking about that integrity and character, we're talking about something that must be developed inside of us. I don't know about you, but most of us come into the church without this firmness of integrity or firmness of character, meaning that if we get under pressure, then we might say some things that are not altogether true, but we might say them just so we can get out of the tight place we're in. Well, God doesn't want that. He wants us to be people of integrity. Now, over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, would you turn there, please? Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, "This I know, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." All right, now, what am I saying? The church. So people come in here, and now we're developing integrity. We're in this area called integrity. Don't you think that this needs to be talked about? In lieu of some of the things that are happening and so forth, we need to talk about some integrity here. All right? Because it has to be built, see? And so, now, let's look at it. Let's kind of go on down with this. The church. The church is not a building. The church is people. And the church is people whom have been called out. And as we've been called out, we've been called out of everything, every kind of lifestyle we've been living in. And we've been called into something called the church. Now, in this church, we are coming into the kingdom, but the kingdom of God is also coming into us. And that's what it says in Luke chapter 17, verse 20. And they said, "Jesus showeth the kingdom." He said, "The kingdom of God is within you. It doesn't come by observation. It is within you." So the kingdom of God is within us. Now, this reason why I'm telling you this is this, is that the kingdom of God is not a religion. The kingdom of God is a government. And in Isaiah 9, it says, "The government shall be upon his shoulder," talking about Jesus. "And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. And of his kingdom and of his government there shall be no end." Now, saying that the government of God, in Revelation, it says the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of our God. That the kingdom of God is going to take over every other government. Are you with me? And so now what has happened in the kingdom of God, there's a new way we act in the kingdom. That in the kingdom of God, there are new standards in the kingdom. In the kingdom of God, there are different laws in the kingdom. In the kingdom of God, there's a different print. Those are different principles. There's a different culture. There's a different value system. There's a different morals in the kingdom of God. And so once you come into the kingdom of God, now we got to teach you all these things. We got you out of the mess. Now we have to get the mess out of you. Now, I'm talking to me, too. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying we all had to come in and get straight. Say straight.
Straight.
All right. All right. Now, so we get the kingdom in us, which is the government. Now, we in the kingdom are subject to this government over any other government. Meaning that if something conflicts with this government, we have a right to obey this government. The government of the kingdom of God. Are you following what I'm saying? See, where I think the church missed it is the church, many times people see the church as religion. And it's not religion. It's a government, man. This is just like a government that you see out here. This is another government, but it's a government coming from heaven that will be set up on the earth. And in Revelation, 21 and 22, it says, "I saw a city come down from God and set up on the earth." Oh, yeah, when you leave this earth, you're going to be with the Lord. But, hey, don't unpack. You ain't staying there long. You're going to be living forever right down here on this earth in the government of the kingdom of God. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, so now what happens is a culture of that government has to come through. Now, it comes through first with us, because as this government comes through, we then understand that the government of the kingdom is not a democracy. It's not a democracy. Now, let me just go off and take a little rabbit trail here for a minute. On this, remember when Daniel, in Daniel chapter 2, saw the king Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he dreamed something, but he didn't know what he dreamed, and he certainly didn't interpret the dream, didn't know how to interpret it. But it bothered him.
And so he called his soothsayers and magicians and so forth. He said, hey, you the wise men, you tell me what the dream meant. Well, the revelation of that is right there. Every king needs a priest. See, they were the spiritual part. See, he had that. The world knows that. And so many people in the church don't know it for some reason. They don't think they need a pastor. They don't need think they need a man or woman of God. I'm just telling you right now, the further you rise up, the higher you get, the more you need a priest. Say amen to that. And the more vision he gives me, the more I need a king. So we need each other. Home girl. Okay, all right, that's all right. Okay, all right. Now, so as we look at this, here's this dream he had. So Daniel came, and Daniel could interpret the dream. And he was interpreting that dream. Now, when he interpreted the dream, he said, hey, you saw a man. And it was a statue. It had a head of gold. And he had chest and arms of silver. Now, what does that represent? A head of gold. That represented the Babylonian kingdom. So he had a kingdom that was a Babylonian kingdom that had a head of gold. Now, what did that symbolize? That Babylonian kingdom was a dictatorship. So this whole statue represented two things. It represented the kingdoms of this world, because it was the kingdoms exactly as the Bible has them outlined over history. It had the Babylonian, it had the Medo-Persian, it had the Grecian, it had the Roman, and then it had the European League and all that. It has everything's in there. See, according to God, everything that's going to happen has already happened. So he's just telling you about it. So the first thing is Babylonian, which is dictatorship. So the kingdom of God is not a democracy. There is no vote. It's a command. And he tells us what to do, and we do it. But the next area is the silver. And that's the Medo-Persian. Okay? And that is a time where Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6, got put in the lion's den. Can I take you there? Go to Daniel chapter 6 real quick, please. All right, look what it says in Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, and the princes, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Damage means loss. All right, look at me. Here's a picture. The picture is Medo-Persian kingdom. How do I know Medo-Persian kingdom? All you have to do is go down here in the previous chapter, chapter 5, and look at verse 30, that it might... That night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So the Medo-Persian kingdom came in at that time. Now you'll see more of it down here in chapter 6. But here's the deal. Watch this now. So here is this kingdom that has 120 governors or rulers. But over them were three rulers. And these three rulers were to report to the king. And out of that, the reason Daniel was chosen above any of them. Because it tells you why. Let's go on down to verse 2. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and that the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because why? An excellent spirit was found in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now, next time I think I'm going to talk some more about excellence. Excellence. Because we need to know something about that. Excellence is a spirit. Sure, it's a spirit. And that's why when you operate in it, people are attracted to it. Verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error of fault found in it. Now, isn't that interesting? Now, here is Daniel. And Daniel now is being raised up by God.
in a heathen kingdom. Why? Okay. The kingdom is in you. You are sent out to the world. In the world, God raises you up so that you can win the world through influence. Stay with me. When we found a scripture, and that scripture is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. Say, I'm salt.
I'm salt.
But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? What do we use salt for, somebody, in the days of old? To preserve things. I remember my grandmother down south when I was a little kid, she lived way back in the country. And they didn't have these big freezers at that time. And she had big sides of beef or pork or whatever have you. And they put them in something called a smokehouse. Come on, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And in that house, it was a place that they had it salted down. And you could keep meat in there for a long time. Are you following what I'm saying? And salt preserves. So one of the reasons for the Christian being in the world is to preserve the world. Why? Because the world is headed for self-destruction. Why? Because they're disobedient to parents, they're so forth and so on and so on. What are all these things? All these things are works of the flesh. And the Bible says, if you sow to the flesh, what will you reap? You will reap corruption, or the Amplified says destruction. So it's not God's wrath being poured out on the earth. It's the destruction from the seeds that have been sown through the flesh that are coming back as a harvest of destruction. That's anybody's life. You got what I'm saying? So what we're there to do is provide salt. We're to preserve them. Why? Because they don't know the way. If they're not born again, they don't have the light. They can't even see where they're going wrong. Look what it says I'm just reading this now. Just stay with me. In verse 14 in Matthew 5, it says, you are the light of the world. Say, I'm the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it might give light to all that are in the house. You're supposed to direct the way for people. And then it says this, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The church is designed for the world. We're not designed for four walls. We're designed to come in and hear something and go back out there to our assignments. Are you following what I'm saying? Now they're supposed to see your good works. That is works of God. You see, you have gifts, and people in the world have gifts. But you'll have some super on your natural. That's all I can say about that. Praise the Lord. That's as close as I can come. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes. The Jesus, when he was raised up out of the water, the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. And that's when he entered into the supernatural. And that's when he records it. I'm saying the same thing about you. When you got born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, here comes the super on your natural. So now when you go into those places, you can perform at a level of excellence that the world cannot achieve. It was a newscaster that asked Bob Nicholas. He said, what do you think about the play of Tiger Woods? He said, all I got to say is Tiger's playing at a level that I'm not quite familiar with. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying the church should be operating at a level that the world is not quite familiar with. And through that, we will have influence to draw them in trying to find how they can be better, then we can lead them to Christ. Ooh-wee. Say amen to this. So here's the thing. In Daniel chapter 6, it says this, verse 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we have find it against him concerning the law of his who? His God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him,
King Darius live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and governors and the princes and counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute, that's a law, and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the where? Den of lions. Now, today we call that capital punishment. Got it? So here was a law that if you break it, you're going to endure capital punishment, execution by death. That's pretty stuff, strong stuff there. All right, verse 8. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed. Now, here's a revelation. According to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Okay, king, sign this. Because if you ever sign it, you can't even change it. Stay with me. I told you it's a complete revelation of the kingdom. God has laws. Signed. Stay with me. That he can't change. Well, God can do anything. He won't change them laws. Got it? When he says something, give, and it shall be given unto you. He can't change it. See what I'm saying? He obligated himself. And he did it on purpose. He said, I am the Lord, and I change not. And those laws are the same from the Garden of Eden, and they'll be the same until Jesus comes. Amen. They will not change. They will stick right there, and they're established. And those are the laws that God had. And a lot of people try to cry and get God to move, and he won't. The reason why he won't is because he won't violate the law that he's already written. He said it's going to be by faith, and you're going to have to use some faith, or you're going to have to go somewhere and get somebody who got some, because God ain't moving, because you're crying. He's not moving, because you're needy. He's moving by faith. Well, praise the Lord. I trust that you enjoyed that teaching. Now, that is teaching on character and integrity. You remember how Jesus taught, he said, you are salt of the earth. Well, what does salt do? Salt preserves things. I remember in the country when my grandmother stayed down in Georgia, and I used to go down in the summertime, and my brother and I, and I used to see how they used to preserve meat. They would take it and then put it in a smokehouse and put some salt on it, because they didn't have any big freezers like we had today. They didn't have electricity when we started out, but they would put it in this smokehouse, and even though the temperature was not freezing or anything like that, it would preserve the meat. Well, you and I are to preserve this earth. We preserve people's lives until they can get a hold of the fact that Jesus is Lord and that they need to give their lives to him. We're the ones that are to keep down the works of the enemy in this earth. Preservation. Well, to do that, you and I are going to have to stand on the word. And as we stand on that word, things may come against us. Affliction, persecution, but God's promised to deliver us out of them all. This is an excellent teaching. The address and phone number are on your screen. I want you to get it right away. You might see some areas in your life where you need to be developed. And you might say, well, I'm an honest person. I guarantee you, you can be developed even more. Because sometimes we don't know what's really inside of us until the pressure comes on us. So what we want is when the pressure does come from persecution or anything of the world, you'll stand and you'll stand on the Word of God. Powerful teaching. Well, this is Bill Winston. That's all we have for this time. We'll see you next time. Until then, keep walking by faith.
Character. Are you a person who keeps their word? Integrity, what you do when no one is watching. Character and integrity are not qualities that you are born with. They must be developed.
I believe that as we come back to the word, and we're standing on it uncompromisingly, and have integrity and character, I believe something around us gonna change.
Character and Integrity Part 2 is the second installment of the No More Toil series. In this new series by Dr. Bill Winston, you'll learn that character and integrity will guide and protect you in life.
But I'm telling you, your private life, it will affect your public life. This is integrity, folks. Even behind closed doors, we want to be right.
Order No More Toil, Character and Integrity Part 2 today, and Dr. Winston will explain how integrity will preserve you in every situation, how the church must have integrity in order to change the world, why God promotes you on character and not on skills, and much more.
You're gonna be walking like God, talking like Him. He's your Father. The Bible says, imitate God.
To order your copy of No More Toil, Character and Integrity, Part 2, simply write to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois, 60303, by bank card at 1-800-711-9327, or online at www.bwm.org. God wants His people to possess every promise in the Word of God. To do this, we must be people of character and integrity. Order your copy of No More Toil, Character and Integrity, Part 2, today.
While in the Chicagoland area, Pastor Winston personally invites you to Living Word Christian Center. We're located at 7600 West Roosevelt Road in Forest Park, Illinois, just 20 minutes from downtown Chicago. Our Sunday services are at 7, 9, or 11:15 a.m. with a midweek Bible study Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We have Spanish translators and sign language for the hearing impaired. A warm seat awaits you at Living Word Christian Center. For more information, please call 708-697-5000. Today's message is available in its entirety on CD or DVD when you use the product number on your screen by writing to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois, 60303, by bank card at 1-800-711-9327, or online at www.bwm.org. Next week on the Believer's Walk of Faith.
Telling you, you stand on that word and something around you gonna have to change. It cannot stay the same.